Blog Talk Radio.
Prison, what's going on, man? Vincent, I can't hear you. It sounds like the fruit bat. I'm a fruit bat.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I have a wonderful feeling. Everything's going in my way.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Hey, Vincent, what's going on, man?
I have no idea what the heck is going on. I did nothing any different than what I did last week. And see, my headset doesn't use batteries. You just plug it and play. And I don't know what the heck is going on, why it won't play or anything. I just went through 20 minutes of dialogue without realizing no one can hear me. And my wife told me, said, honey, that was good what you were just saying. I said, yeah, it was good, but nobody heard me.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck is going on. I really don't. Blog Talk, they need to cover this because, I did nothing different than I did last week. They need to do something about this, or I'm just going to go full podcast.
Yeah, you know. For it.
Yeah, I mean, but it's good you can hear me now. See, once again, I had to call in as a guest to do my stuff, and I saw there was another caller there, but they done left. So I guess it's just me and you. It's not going to be an Iredale today because today is Iredale's birthday. He's celebrating with Virgin Daiquiris at a restaurant right now. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe your computer ain't recognizing the headset.
It should, because it's the same one I use. Same equipment I used last week. I don't know what the heck is going on.
So you called in as a guest now, huh?
Yeah, I'm called in as a guest now.
And not the host.
Nah, they won't let me call in as a host because they said the host is already called in. There's only one host per program. I'm like, oh, gosh, we're doing this again.
Well, man, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't either. And I just went through 20 minutes of monologue talking about that article that you sent me about Marco Rubio.
Yeah, ain't that something else?
And I said, you know, I basically what I was saying before I was so rudely.
He's playing politics, see?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to get more votes. He thinks it's going to garner him more votes, but all it's going to do is people are going to be like, well, Marco, I thought you were this way, and now you're talking like this, so I don't know what to think about. It's not going to get him more votes. It'll probably get him less votes, you know, because this is crazy. And see, Marco Rubio is one of those names that triggers a lot of people. And folks, when you say Marco Rubio, they're like, oh no, he's one of them MAGA Republicans and everything. But see, dude right here, all he cares about is his politics.
That's
right. All he cares about. That's all he's caring about. And see, that's why I tell people, that's why I don't get into politics. I might talk about it or whatever, but I will not get into politics. I will not run for office or anything like that for this main reason right here. Because a lot of shifty people, a lot of flip-floppers out there. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with it. You either speak your mind and stick to your guns, or you just go somewhere, sit in a restaurant somewhere and drink some ice
cream. Well, he's messed it up now. He can't go back.
Yeah, he can't, you know, because now people are like, oh, well, we're not sure about this dude, you know.
Yeah,
we thought he was on the side of conservatism.
He should have stuck
go
with
ahead.
His guns.
Yeah. You know, now I wonder who's next, Greg Abbott or Ron DeSantis. Are they going to come up like this too? You know, I mean, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder if your vote even really counts too. It really does.
Well, see, well, you're absolutely right. Because politicians like that, I didn't too much like for him. He ran for president too. I didn't like him very much then.
Yeah.
But, see, he done it now. First he said that one thing, now he done backtrack, and now he don't have no place else to go.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be it for him if he lose. And they should get on his ass if he win.
Yeah,
on
that exactly.
Damn issue with abortion. I can't understand. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. Be honest with you. I really don't understand people. I really don't. Mm-hmm.
No.
When it comes down to this issue, I don't understand. You got two things going on here. One, the Constitution. It's the state's right. Why are you going against that? Then the second thing, killing these babies. Like Warnock he supports abortion through 9 months.
Yeah.
It's on that handout that I emailed to you. On him and the Oskov, they support abortion through 9 months.
Yeah.
Stacey Abrams. See, you seen where I was in that discussion on Facebook. And they told me, well, go look at her, go to her webpage. And I said, no, don't be going to what she's talking about she's going to do. Go to her voting record. Looking at what she already has done.
Exactly.
That's what you look at. Go to VoteSmart. They keep up with the stuff they say, where they get their funding. Most of the funding comes from outside of Georgia. So we know who she's going to be answering to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, here's another thing. You can have 50 Stacey Abrams governors. They can't do nothing without that the legislature don't want them to do.
Yeah.
And I keep telling black folks, you ain't going to outvote whites in Georgia.
Nope.
They going to vote them legislatures in. To be truthful with you, and I hate to say this like this, black folks just stuck. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
They stuck. It is, even Mississippi, you're only 37% of the population, 35 sometimes. In Mississippi, black women make up 80% of all abortions, 70 or 80% of all abortions in Mississippi. What are you going to control in Mississippi?
That's right.
What you should look, well, if you're going to do anything, be concerned about where you have your leverage. And then make that stuff work. But you can't even do that.
Mm-hmm. It's it's disheartening to see someone as prominent as a Marco Rubio, you know, flip-flop like he does. But to me, it shouldn't be too surprising because to me, it's like it's politics as usual. You know, this is what you can expect. That's why we need a Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is not going to flip-flop on issues like this. Donald Trump doesn't play the political games. That's what I liked about the dude. You know, I didn't vote for him the first time because I was like, it's going to be politics as usual. But then when I saw what he was doing, I was like, whoa, okay, I ain't even seen this type of boldness even from Ronald Reagan. I was like, whoa, what in the world is this dude doing, you know? But
I went to his rallies and I heard what he said.
Yeah.
I might have been the only black person there. I was the only black at the COS meeting here Wednesday.
Oh, really?
It was one other woman of non-white, but I was at the a convention of state meeting there in Baton Rouge, and I was I really impressed what they're doing, because what they're working on is they're doing the forensics on the 2020 election, and that's a good thing. They wasn't talking about the Constitution, anything else other than as it applied to votes, but.
Yeah.
They're gonna be. It's they working to come out with some revealing information and talking about those machines, which is the software on those machines. I think I heard the guy say is a product of Edison, and I believe that's the Edison who be trying to run these charter schools. And they are being controlled by Heritage, and of course Heritage is being controlled by Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Use these damn names.
It was something real interesting in this article from Reason that you showed me. Where is this? Let me see if I can pull it up, because now I'm in damage control mode.
So what was it about? that organization?
No, talking about abortion being a talking about doctors providing basic care. It says Democrats think that issue will help them by reminding moderates of extreme MAGA Republicans' intent to criminalize women's health freedom in all 50 states and arrest doctors for providing basic care. And this is the thing that frustrates me about statements like this, is that abortion is not basic care.
Kind of basic care.
I mean, basically all abortion is the taking of an innocent human life for no reason at all. That's basically what abortion is. You know, a woman gets pregnant, she goes to the doctor and says, hey, yo, doc, I got this kid up inside of me. Can you do something about it? Doc says, okay, give me that money and we'll take care of business for you. That's basically what abortion is, you know, and it has nothing to do with basic human. And see, this basic medical care that they keep throwing up is nothing more than a smokescreen, because, you know, people are sympathetic about health and women's health and stuff like that. And when they throw these smoke screens up, people are like, oh, you don't care about women's health, you know, that why they get rid of well, first of all, when they overturned Roe v. Wade, they did not outlaw abortion, which I think would be a good thing. But they didn't outlaw abortion. And basically what they did, they struck it down from the federal level and they brought it down to the state level where the states can vote on the issue.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right. They just put some restrictions on it. Same thing they done with alcohol, right?
Exactly. And this has nothing to do, this is not a constitutional issue, because nowhere in the Constitution does it say a woman has a right to kill her baby. But yet and still, people keep throwing this out that is a constitutional issue. It is not a constitutional issue. It is a moral and a human issue. It's not constitutional.
just like they want to impose restrictions, and they use the term reasonable restrictions, on gun ownership in that.
Exactly. Exactly.
But can't no, but when somebody makes some reasonable restrictions on abortions, oh, no, they all bent out of shape.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about it, too, you know, the Democrats, they don't give a rip. They're like, hey, abort the baby. If the baby is starting to crown, you know, you can abort the baby then. And Republicans, you know, they're like, okay, well, after 15 weeks, you know, hey. Now, me, I'm like this, you know, abortion is bad no matter how you slice it. But I will say this. If a woman is pregnant and the pregnancy looks like it might take her life, I'd say yeah in that instance. But see, here's my point though. That's an extremely rare case, and we shouldn't legalize abortion for something that's going to occur in an extremely rare case. As I was saying in my rant before, you know, I realized nobody was hearing me. The man who started NARAL, the North American Abortion Rights, the National Abortion Rights Action League, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
Bernard Nathanson, he said he performed 10,000 abortions in his lifetime. And he said not one time did we perform an abortion on a woman whose life was affected by her pregnancy. He said not one time out of 10,000 abortions. So they keep using that argument. Oh, what about the life of the mother? Oh, what about rape and incest? Rape and incest only account for less than 1% of the pregnancies out there. Most women who are raped or incest or whatever, they don't get pregnant. And even if they did get pregnant, Planned Parenthood would be more than happy to take care of that for you, even if it did happen. You know, as the case with a certain 10-year-old girl earlier this year, you know.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that, you remember they had a recording that was on that Maafa 21 where this guy called in and he was going to donate to Planned Parenthood. He said he wanted his donation to only go to black abortions.
Mm. Wow.
Only go to black abortions.
Yeah.
But
we don't see this as a racial issue, though.
Well, yeah. But the thing is this. And, you know, with us shooting and shit going on out in these streets, In these cities, they ain't got nothing to come in on no arguments and no one-up on some other case that's done by whites. Well, hell, if a woman want to kill a baby, go ahead. But follow the law in the state you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like that, go to another state.
I mean, really?
Hell, I can't carry a gun in Illinois, and I'm licensed in Missouri. And see, you want it your way, but when others come and with their concerns, oh, no, you don't need no gun.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy, man. It really is. And, you know, just to see how the politicians, you know, how they interact over this, that's the thing that frustrates me the most. You know, these little talking points they keep throwing out there, like it's a woman's life and it's her choice and all that crazy. Look, don't get
and you know another story I put out there, I don't know if you read it yet, about Uhuru, that African Socialist Party.
No, I didn't see that one.
I tagged you in it. Check it out. And I'm gonna tell you something. I stand with this organization for what the FBI done, raiding their place. It didn't produce no search warrant. And that's the one I told you about, the organization that was in Tampa, Florida. That's where they headquartered. They raided St. Louis and Tampa, Florida, by the way. in July. That when Barack Obama was in Tampa in a rally during his first run for president, these people of that members of that group was asking him some hard questions. And they kept on asking him to the point where it was like pestering. And I think that what went on with them, of course, they say that that they're being accused of taking money from Russia for their organization. And they say the right thing. They say Russia ain't never done anything to us. It's not Russia that's tearing up the cities. It's not Russia who's taking people's property here in St. Louis. And they specifically named the area, and I know the area very well. But no, I agree with them. What they've done was totally wrong. Organization been around for 50 damn years.
And I'm sitting here reading the caption of it right now.
And hell, they burned. Who came out with a flamethrower? Can you imagine that? Now, who in the hell got a flamethrower in the damn garage? Light the barbecue pit? A flag that was on a 50-foot flagpole.
Wow.
They burned down. Somebody came and burnt down their flag using a flamethrower. That's what they would have had to have that. I've seen the flag. Red, black, and green. They got a right to do that if they want to. They built basketball courts and building gardens, having classes and all that stuff. So if that's what they want, and tearing down condemned buildings, so they say, if that's what they want to do, then they can got a right to do that. But you don't – hey, why don't you just knock on these people's doors at 5 o'clock? They was up in the morning instead of busting out window, throwing – flash grenades inside the house. Suppose the kids laying up in there on the couch or something.
Mm-mm-mm. Wow. This is so anything that's against somebody that they support, you can expect a FBI raid at your house or whatever.
Well, I think that they're trying to get them down connections with Russia and probably use it to go against Trump. That's what I may be the case.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. He had a drone come in the house, fly up the steps into the second floor.
Mm.
If I seen that drone come, I would have knocked it down.
I tell you, that's a big fly. Maybe we should be careful of how we speak on the phone. They might be listening to us right now.
Yeah, I don't care about them listening.
I told that to a friend of mine the other day. I said, look, I hope they are listening. I hope they are. I sing like a canary.
And see, that's illegal.
Yeah.
You swore to a constitution. And see, that's Garland. And what's that other guy's name? Christopher Wire, I think it is, he was the head of the FBI. I mean, they have to be held accountable for that.
Yeah.
And where's the lawsuits? If a police officer shoot a black person, you want to sue.
Yep.
Well, where's the damn lawsuit?
Immunity. I was going to say diplomatic, but that has to do with
That's
people
why
from other countries.
That's why so many people hate that organization. And now it's a good organization. Don't tell it does do some good things like track down traffickers, like they did here within a couple of weeks ago, I think. But now, what you're seeing now is this is being used as a political tool, political attack dog. That has to be coming from some specific elements. And those elements need to be rooted out and prosecuted to the greatest extent.
Exactly. Because they're supposed to be a neutral organization, but they've been poisoned by politics. That's what, you know. And, you know, it really became evident when Hillary Clinton was running. And, you know, they were basically looking into Donald Trump, but they weren't looking into Hillary Clinton.
No,
I think is the... who I think was the greater, much greater of the two evils, you know. But, you know, and it's like, okay, so if we're going to continue being poisoned by politics like this, who can you trust, really? I mean, you're supposed to serve the American people, be they Democrat, Libertarian, or Republican. But you're, by your actions, you're showing which side of the political spectrum you favor, you know. And this is the type of stuff that frustrates a lot of people. They hold on to their political sentiments more than they do for their service to the American people. That's the problem I see in the country today. And it's like, you know, what organization can you really turn to, because, you know, everything is being poisoned by politics.
Yeah. Right now it is. And that Garland, you know, he's a wimp. He pissed off.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't able to get on the Supreme Court. And you know what? I'm glad as hell he wasn't able to get on the Supreme Court.
I mean, I'm telling you, the way he's acting right now, I'm glad he didn't make it either. Shoot.
And one YouTube is about the Florida Uhuru leader defends Russia. That lady there, I have to take my hat off to her. She is on point 100% in what she says. You listen to that. See, we got to stand for right things. You know, I don't care who the messenger is. We have to stand for the message. And what she is saying is dead on point. And she, that's the press secretary that you need to have in the White House.
Mm. I need to check that out when the show is over.
When you get a chance, check that out.
Yeah. I seriously need to check that out, because,
Here's the thing, Vincent. You know, some of these organizations, they work for them, like BLM, I don't think much of them. But this organization here has done some pretty good things, you know. And you got to give credit what credit's due.
That's right.
I don't care if you don't like the person. Everybody in that first press conference, I know the ones out there on front. I know the guy on the right, personally, with the black shirt on. The guy on the left, he's an alderman. And I can't think of his name. I've been with him for, you know, off and on. But then the guy that's sitting over there in the yellow shirt, that's Mr. Brooks, my plumber, in a wheelchair.
Oh, okay.
But I know exactly what address is over there off of West Florida, down from Penrose Park. No, not Penrose Park, O'Fallon Park. But what they done is wrong.
Yeah. And why do they always have to bring Russia up in it? I mean, every time something goes wrong and they want to accuse somebody, they always want to bring Russia up into the fray.
And see, that's what I tell these organizations. I say, y'all need to get some black people in your damn organization.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, see, then they can't say that you're a bunch of white supremacists out running in the woods practicing to go out and shoot. You need all the black gun clubs. And we talking about the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
You know, if you hate each other, we got to put that aside. Because we got to fight for the country. Hell, if you ain't got
exactly.
No country, you ain't going to have no place to be hating anybody. What you going to be doing, standing up on a damn mountain someplace in some other country?
And then they'll shoot you down from that mountain.
Black folks are concerned about the Second Amendment. These black gun clubs, you need to approach them and say, look, we need your help. They'll be happy to do it. And then can you imagine these elements going after these blacks who's exercising their Second Amendment right? Oh, baby, now what kind of uproar would that cause?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you got to understand, too, Bianchi, that, you know, according to the supreme intellect of Joy Behar, once black people get guns, you know, they'll start restricting gun ownership once black people start owning guns. without realizing that a lot of black people do own guns. So,
well, see here, if they take guns from whites, they automatically take them from blacks too.
Yeah, exactly. See, there
so
it is, right there.
To, in essence, wherever they can, they need to coexist and out on the cause for the United States Constitution. That's the only thing we have. It ain't no, it's not no manifesto. I got to send you a copy of that Black Manifesto, too. It's not no manifesto. It's not no pledge of no organization pledge. It's the U.S. Constitution.
Yep.
And we have to defend.
Let me hold you on that point right now. I've gone over the hour, and let me do my advertisements, and when we finish, I'll get right back into the show.
All right.
This is, you are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017 @gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins.
To the show. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, call in number is 646-478-5284. And when we were last talking before the top of the hour, we were talking about how wishy-washy some of our Republicans are, and it makes you wonder if we're actually going to have this prophesied red wave that's coming in November. You know, it basically causes you to lose faith in certain of your politicians who, for a long time, they talk one way, but then one day they actually show their true colors, and you're like, well, wait a minute, you know, I thought this guy was about this, and now he's saying this, and you know, and just like me and Pianchi were saying, it's all about votes. It's all about getting votes so you can get into that position of power. Because basically, what I see from a lot of politicians is they really don't care about the American people per se. You know, I'm not saying that's all of them, but for the most part, they don't care about the American people. They just want to sit in a position where they make the rules and you have to follow them. You know, and I'm seeing that a lot in the Republicans, and I hate to say that because the Republicans have traditionally been for what is right with the country. They've been for the Constitution. They've been for Judeo-Christian morals and whatever, and family values. And now it's like, okay, well, are they still for that? We hear them talking, but their actions are showing something else, you know. And it goes along that old proverb that says actions speak louder than words, you know. And I like to add something to that proverb, you know, talk is cheaper than dirt. You know, you can talk a good game, but I want to see your actions when you get into the game, you know. So, but having said all that, last week I was talking about the movie that's supposed to be coming out next year, The Little Mermaid, and you know, and also the Rachel Richardson case, you know, the Duke player that was that said she heard all these racist slurs being hurled at her every time she went for a serve in a volleyball game and whatever. And what I'm starting to see today is these people are really digging their heels in. They are really digging in their heels. I mean, when you show them everything to the contrary, they're like, we know, you know, that girl heard something. She heard something. And, well, talking about Rachel Richardson, you know, the Duke player. And now I live in Durham, North Carolina, which is an epicenter of the college, it's epicenter to the college atmosphere in this part of North Carolina. We got UNC in Chapel Hill. We got Duke, North Carolina Central University here in Durham, North Carolina. We got NC State in Raleigh. We have UNC Greensboro in Greensboro, A&T, North Carolina A&T. We got Winston-Salem State University in Winston-Salem, and Wake Forest University, which is also in Winston-Salem. I mean, this is a college area. This is a college, I guess you could say, college vortex, so to speak. We got Elon College outside of Burlington. Now, let me tell you something about why I'm mentioning that, because when you go into a college atmosphere, you're also going into what I hate to say, but what I call a woke atmosphere. What these people are being taught in these schools, in these colleges, they're being taught a woke agenda. They're being taught a leftist, left-leaning rhetoric. And when this girl come up and she said, well, I heard all these people saying all this and everything and stuff like that, I'm like, bull crap. Because I understand the atmosphere that we have here in Durham, North Carolina. And if these racial slurs were being hurled at this girl, then somebody would have stepped in and said, we're not going to have this. We're not going to, Now, no one's going to sit there and be quiet, because when you talk about the proponents of wokeness, basically what you have are pro-black people and guilty white folk. That's basically what you have in the pro-woke agenda. You got guilty white folks who are just bending over at the knees trying to show that, oh, we don't hate black people, and yeah, I'm a white person and I got privilege, and they just want to bend over backwards for black people. And of course you got the black people saying, I hear you, but you're still white. You know, that's basically what you got in the woke agenda. And they're still digging their heels in. Dawn Staley, she's the head coach of South Carolina, the lesbian coach of South Carolina. And she's like, well, based on my observations, I've decided not to cancel our game with BYU. Which the problem with BYU is they were founded by a racist person. They were. Brigham Young was a Mormon, and he came up with a law. He said any white person caught marrying a black person should be killed, and this law should never change. That's the problem with the Mormon religion right now because of their past. You know, it's only been since 1978 when they got rid of the, you know, blacks can't join us and everything and stuff like that. It's only been 1978. But having said that, BYU is basically your typical college atmosphere. It's your typical college program. You got a lot of woke people going through these college programs, and they're not going to put up with the, you know, the racism and everything and stuff like that. So when this girl made an accusation against BYU, I'm kind of thinking she knew what she was doing because she probably knew about the, you know, the history of the Mormons and everything. But she, no one directed a racial slur at her. All you had to do was play back the match, which they lost 3-1. But all you had to do was play back the footage of the match. And if she was hearing these racial slurs, then we should be able to hear it on that recording. And if we did, now, you know, the atmosphere in this country, this would have made nationwide news. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, we heard them calling her the N-word. We heard them calling her a monkey. We heard them calling her such and such and so. But we didn't hear that. Nobody heard it. And it's almost like a dog whistle in a way. And I guess that's where they get that term dog whistle from. Well, you didn't hear it, but I heard it, you know. So basically it's two dogs out of 5,000 people that heard this. So, you know, this so-called racial slur is this girl and her godmother who's supposed to be running for some type of judgeship in Texas, you know. And they said, well, we heard it. But nobody else did. And matter of fact, there was a gentleman, I think, that they kicked out and they banned him from coming to any sports event at BYU. But then the evidence came forth and they were like, wait a minute. No, we don't hear anything. So the person that they kicked out, they actually invited him back. And they apologized to him for kicking him out. But those, the apostles of blackness, they still want to dig their heels in and say that this is a problem. And it is not. It's not a major problem in this country. But nothing's going to sway them. Once the accusation has been made, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to get these people to turn away. These people are not going to apologize. Just a mere accusation of racism is enough to convince these people. And it's not going to be easy to convince them of the truth because these people are not about the truth. They're about their feelings. That's all they're about. They don't care about the truth. You're not going to hear them come up and say, we're going to make a statement today, and the statement is, we didn't hear any racial slurs or anything like that, and we profusely apologize to the American people for bringing. You're not going to hear them come up and say that. You're not going to hear that, because once the accusation is out there, the truth doesn't matter. It no longer matters. They're just going to go by their feelings. Truth be damned. We don't care about the truth. What we care about is how we feel. We know this girl heard something. How do you know she heard something? Well, why would she lie about it? That's a good question. Yeah, why would she lie about it? Because it gets her attention. That's what it is. And her godmother, by the way, on Twitter, I forgot the godmother's name, but if you go to her Twitter page, you'll see all kinds of racist statements that she's made in the past. But, of course, we tend to look away from that because a lot of us have been convinced that black people cannot be racist, which is one of the stupidest things I think I ever heard in my life. If you hate white people, that means you're racist, okay? You know, no, we can only be biased. We can only be prejudiced. That's what racism is. But, you know, they're so convinced in their minds, they're so heady, they're so high-minded that they don't want to hear a dissenting point of view. They just want to stick with what they heard. I don't care if it's an accusation. I don't care if you can put in a court of law and find the truth out about it or whatever. We're still going to stick with the accusation. But anyway, my rant is over. Bianca, you got anything to say on that?
So you say that her aunt heard it,
and
her aunt's running for a judgeship?
In Texas, yep.
And she got all kind of racist slurs on her Twitter page?
Yep.
Holy cow.
I mean, really. Yeah, I saw it myself. I had to find her name or whatever, and because I saw it on a video on YouTube, and I said, well, dog, look at this woman. This woman, if she were white, we would be calling for her for her prison term. That's how egregious these accusations were on her Twitter page.
I'd be damned. Well, I always did tell you that some of the most racist people you ever want to see are black.
Yeah.
Shit. If blacks can jump higher and throw and run faster, they can racist better, too, than whites.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point right there. That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can do everything better than white. And I see people starting to come out again. You know, Viola Davis' age is starting to show on her face.
Yeah.
She looked like she's about 80 here in this heat.
I mean, and when they told me she was 58 years old, I said, what? 58? I was like, well, no, why they got her playing a part of a warrior woman? I mean, for real. Get somebody who's younger and make them.
This shit, you know, them women, according to what I read, those are slaves of the king.
Yeah.
Because where are the men?
Exactly.
See, you had the African tribes jumping on other tribes. And when they was warned that these attackers were coming, they ushered the women and children off into the forest. Right?
Yep.
Well, after the battle come back, oh, it was over. And the other side conquered, the king conquered, they took these women as slave prisoners. And then they put them into his forces to protect him. Because
yeah.
They ain't going to put their own kiss and kin out there fighting.
Oh, no.
They ain't going to, see, ain't no king going to put his daughters. They're not going to put his sisters. Not going to put his aunts. Not going to put his wives out there fighting. They're going to use these slaves.
Yep.
And they shaved their heads.
Certainly
so that
did.
They could blend in with the rest of the damn group, possibly. So people don't use no common sense. Hey, do the rich let their children be drafted into the army?
Nope.
Vietnam, they was complaining about it was poor kids and blacks that was being drafted into the in Vietnam to fight. Well, it was
certainly
the same way with them.
Yep.
Ain't nothing different. They're human beings. So them kings wasn't letting their daggone kiss and kin go out there and fight. So they when they captured, and if they didn't, and when they got done with them, they sold them into slavery.
Exactly, and that's what those ladies were fighting for. They were fighting to protect slavery.
Well, yeah, and some of them they had to, because how did they get the money for weapons?
Exactly.
Do people even ever think?
I don't think they do. I don't. You know, and you she made the accusation that if you don't watch this movie, you don't care about black superheroes and stuff like that. I'm like, y'all, come on now. Really, you know. You know, basically what she was saying, if you don't watch this movie, you're racist, you know. I have no desire to watch the movie because basically I done gotten tired of black cinema. Because basically what you see in black cinema is wokeness And I just got, I'm tired of it. You know, I really noticed it with Black Panther, how they overhyped that movie. And Black Panther, it was okay, but it wasn't as good a movie as they made it out to be, you know. And if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you like Black Panther and this is your favorite movie, I have no problem with that. But I'm just saying, from what I've seen of Black Panther compared to other Marvel movies, it didn't stand up. It really didn't. But people, you know, this was such a good movie, and, you know, got Best Picture nomination and everything. I'm like, oh yeah, I know where this is. I know what this is about. This is just about being woke, you know, help, you know, to cater to the black folks and whatever. And here's one thing that gets me too. Why aren't we hearing this thing about diversity when it comes to an all-black movie? When we got a movie that's got a large black cast and whatever, where are the cries of diversity then? You know, nobody says, you know, they say, you got too many, there are too many black people in this movie. We need to put some white people in there. Nah, but, you know, you got a lot of white people in the movie. Oh, too many white people. We got to put some black people in there.
And they got these people all greased down with that, make you look like you're black stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
ain't
so,
nowhere everybody gonna be shining like a damn brand new quarter. Think about it, Vincent.
I mean, really. You know.
I know you gonna have everybody in the damn. All these people that's acting gonna be shining like a brand new damn quarter in dark skin.
I mean,
quarter.
Really? Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and I think I brought this point out last week about, you know, the hypocrisy in the woke crowd. You know, we get all bent out of shape when there are not a lot of black people in a movie. But we don't feel that getting bent out of shape when we don't see a lot of white people in a movie, you know.
But not only in this, they should have got some native Africans to play in these roles. Why you bring all these Americans from across the damn ocean and you culturally bandits hijacking these people's portrayal of them? You should have got some Africans.
Yep.
It should be at, these should be the people of that country. They say it was shot in Kenya. Well, you couldn't got no Kenyans. Huh? Kenyans don't look like the Beninis.
No, I thought
we all was the same. Well, no, Kenyans don't look like no Beninis. No, but the homies. And surely they women don't. And wait a minute. And these women here, these American women, all fat, got Volkswagen asses.
I mean,
them women didn't have that kind of physical shape back then.
No.
Got weeds and all that crazy ass stuff.
Yeah, no. I mean, see, the reason why we can see it is because we use common sense. We look at it, we say, wait a minute now. Hey, come on now, you know. And, you know, you got people who are uptight about the Little Mermaid movie. I did a video a couple of days ago on that, you know, how people there up in arms, you know, they're saying white people are complaining about the color of the Little Mermaid. But when we have a movie like, what was that movie? The Last Airbender. One of the biggest complaints about that movie was it was whitewashed. They had white people playing as Asian characters and everything. Okay, well then, why are you getting on white folks for complaining about a black girl in The Little Mermaid, and here you all complaining about, you know, white folks playing Asian folks? And don't have a black person, don't have a black character being portrayed by a white person. Oh my goodness, there's the racism right there. But either way, to me, I'm like this. If I'm familiar with the character and I know that character to be white, when they're portrayed in a movie, I expect them to be white. I do, you know. And I don't like the race changing and everything, even though in the Marvel movies, you know, what's that guy's name? Nick Fury. Nick Fury in the comics, when I was growing up, Nick Fury was portrayed as a white man in the comics. Now come to the Marvel movies, they portray him as a black character, which I will say this. Samuel L. Jackson played that part pretty good. But that's not my point. My point is y'all changed his race from white to black, and now when you go into the comic book, you're like, wait a minute. So is Nick Fury a white man or a black man now, you know? And I'm like, look, keep them at their race. I don't care how many white people you got in a movie. I don't need to see a black person in a movie to feel good about myself, to feel like I'm represented. You know, I just come to watch a movie, okay? One of my favorite movies is Jaws, Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Them movies ain't had one black person in it. You know, they didn't have one black person in them. Those are some of my favorite movies. I don't give a rip pair of jeans how many black people you got in the movie, how I'm represented and everything. You know, I mean, and they say, oh, it's for the children. The children need to see somebody who looks like, well, they might be dark colored, but they don't look like them. They just have dark skin. And they were showing the trailer for The Little Mermaid, and they were showing all these little black girls that, oh, look. Oh. And I said, yeah, that's all that is old-fashioned propaganda. That's all that is. These little, them little girls, be honest with you, if they had seen the original Little Mermaid, they probably would have been just as excited then. You know,
well,
they weren't saying,
I don't know where they got
black.
This. Where did they get this mermaid from? Africans in African society, they didn't have no damn mermaids.
No, they didn't.
Now, I've been to Egypt many, many, many times and been to the Cairo Museum, and there were figurines of mermaids, but they were Negroid features.
Yeah,
they was Caucasoids, Caucasian,
yeah.
Whites, because those seafarers on the bow of their ship, many times they put mermaids.
Yep.
And there's stories of them saying that they seen mermaids. Well, I can't dispel that. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But there wasn't no mermaids down there in West Africa. And you got to look at it, too. Hell, it could have only been a certain, you know, from Cameroon, Nigeria, Togo. Ghana, and those are the only ones that's on the ocean, the shore. Everything else is inland. Ain't no damn mermaids on no sand dune, I don't think. So they carrying this stuff. It's what you got is culture bandits, really. Like I said before, in those movies that was using Africa as a background. You should have hired Africa. What did they say when Nigeria said that there wasn't going to be no advertising? No, I think they said French and British women advertising. These people here, these blacks here quickly said, oh, Nigeria ain't going to use no whites as advertising on billboards in their country.
Mm.
Well, it's no way that Nigeria could have said that. You know why, Vincent? You have white Nigerians.
Yep.
So they lied again.
That's all they do.
There are white Nigerians.
Yep.
Legitimate Nigerians.
Yeah, you don't see them a lot, but they exist.
Zambia had a white vice president just here recently.
Yep, certainly.
His name was Scott something. Yeah. So you got this group that's in search of some type of identity. Then you got others that's taking advantage of it, like the ones who put this damn picture here on talking about women kings. It was white women that put that on.
Yep.
Because they seen a way how they could exploit black feelings, looking for something.
Yep.
I guess when you go to damn Mars, you're going to be looking for black female warriors up there.
They'll probably be mad because they'll be green or something. You know?
Yeah. I guess they're going to say that slaves built Mars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my thing too about the Little Mermaid movie, I'm like, why do you have to borrow from Disney and say, okay, we're gonna make this a character? Why can't you come up with an original movie yourself? Because we have black filmmakers. Why can't you?
Yeah, but you don't have
yourself?
No black. You don't have no black mermaids.
Yeah, exactly. Well, see, that's the point.
With a weave, a black mermaid with a weave.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And extensions in the hair.
I mean, for real.
And red hair. What color? Auburn hair.
Yeah, the auburn hair. I don't think I ever seen a black woman with red hair. Maybe close to it, you know. But you know, I never.
And
seen,
in seawater,
you know,
it would bleach out. That's why, come to all the mermaids' hair had been blonde.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That color would bleach out in salt water.
They don't think along the lines of things like that. They just, you know, they just go with their feelings once again. And they always talking about cultural appropriation, but then they turn around and do the very same thing. I mean, now we know there is no such thing as a black woman with blonde hair. But we see these blonde weaves everywhere. See them everywhere. But they want to talk about cultural appropriation when a white person decides to braid her hair. You know, cultural appropriation. Well, what about when you wear that blonde wig? I mean, see, the hypocrisy in this wokeness is just blatant. I mean, it's just out there. It's like, my gosh, what in the world? You know, you all are pointing your finger at somebody, but you're not aware of the three that point back at you. And me, I don't care who is black or white or whatever like that. If I go to watch a movie or a TV show, all I'm looking for is quality. I'm not looking for how many black people are in this and how many white people and the diversity and all this crazy mess. I don't care about that. I just want to see a quality movie. That's all I care about.
Yeah, well, you got a point, man.
I mean,
sure do have a point.
I watched this when I was suffering from COVID back a couple of Decembers ago, back in 2020. I decided to watch this movie on Netflix called Jingle Jangle. And I watched the movie. It was basically a large, you know, black cast in that movie. And I loved the movie. The movie was great. I thought it was a great movie, great music and everything. And then one of the characters had to go to an interview and say, oh, it is so good to see black people in a movie about fantasy. I'm sitting there like, now, see, you just ruined the whole thing. Because we didn't see any of that wokeness in the movie itself. But then here you come talking about, oh, it's good to see black people in a movie about fantasy. And I'm like, oh, gosh. See?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm reluctant to watch that movie again because of that statement that lady made. And it was a great movie. I thought it was a great movie. You know, the dancing, the singing and everything. But when she made that statement, you know, at an interview, I was like, oh, gosh, come on, y'all.
You know,
y'all,
another thing here I noticed, too, with these people, they got cowrie shells on their clothes. Cowrie shells was used as money. They ain't going to be sewing it on their damn clothes.
No.
And I don't think about it. Why would you sew money on your damn clothes? Because when they exchange stuff or sold stuff to the sellers, the traders, they receive cowrie shells.
Yep.
They didn't have no damn dollar bills, no Benjamins.
Yeah, maybe that's how they paid the white slave owners, by putting those cowrie shells like a decoration on the women. And they're like, oh, okay, here's our
And
business.
All of these
right
people
on,
look
sir,
like
you know?
They just came from Planet Fitness.
Yeah. 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 I tell you, time to wake up, folks.
And long hair. They wouldn't have no long hair neither because it's too damn hot.
Yeah.
It would have had a peppercorn hair. It wouldn't have been pressed.
Yep.
It would have been cut practically down a half inch, if for that much.
Yeah. Or like the those lady warriors in the Black Panther movie, just completely
bald headed is a sign of slaves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They had to because you had to distinguish the slaves from the rest of the people.
That's right.
So they cut their hair off.
And I don't know if I made this point last week, but white people couldn't just go into the interior of Africa and just steal black people from their villages because there were a lot of diseases and whatever that they didn't want to catch. And they said on average, a white person could only last about 6 weeks going into the interior of Africa.
Yeah,
the diseases would kill them out. Yeah.
And they would have had to get Africans. They would have had to get Africans to take them up river into them slave markets.
Yep, certainly did.
They weren't going to row them boats.
But that's history.
What are you going to do, steal somebody, hijack some African for his boat?
I mean, really. Man,
and they were
going to
put them all on boats. They were going to march them out. And here's where the other thing comes. You're not going to be chopping through. You're not going to be chopping through bush. You're going to be walking on paths that others have trodden.
Exactly.
Well, you're going to be cutting through down villages.
Mm-hmm.
And if the villages felt for these people that you were ushering out of there, they would have attacked you.
Yep.
And you got single-fired muskets. So how are you going to fight that kind of action?
Yeah, exactly.
See, this shit don't make no damn sense.
Yes. It doesn't make no sense at all, you know. And they always telling us, look at history, look at history, look at history. You got to know your history. You got to know your history. Well, apparently you don't know your history, you know.
And here's where I come on at. I tell black folks, I say, you are the product of an unwanted people. Because at any time, them Africans could have stopped that.
Yep.
Whites set up barracoons on the shore, and they receive Africans. For the ships would come back every scheduled time. And then they would have to row them out to the ships.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, the ship didn't come up to the shore where you can step right into the ship.
Yeah, because they run aground.
Yeah. Especially you had to go out far enough because when you put a load on the ship, it's going to go down further in the water and stand a chance of getting stuck.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you had to wait till night to cast off because the breeze comes from the land out to the sea at night and from the sea into the land during the day.
Exactly.
So all that stuff plays into the picture.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to admit that.
Yeah.
Like Kanye West just said it was a choice. Well, it was a choice because the mother tribal, and they didn't want you anyway because you don't wage war against them.
Yeah.
And you didn't have no money to pay for the compensation of what you done, so they sold you off.
Yep.
And anybody could have bought you. Some people bought slaves for agriculture. They had slaves for administration in their government. They had slaves that they used for domestic chores. They had slaves that served in the military. They still do that stuff, right?
Yep, they still do it.
They had special category of slaves for sacrifice according to traditional belief.
Yep.
If they won a battle, they come back in and sacrifice somebody and thank the gods or whoever. They had personal slaves to satisfy the private desires of their owners. You had what was called pawns. You know what a pawn is, don't you? Listen to the word pawn. Pawn.
Yeah, pawn
like pawn shops.
Yeah.
Here, you hold this and give me some money and I come back and buy it back from you. Well, that's what they were. Same thing, pawns. They need some money to buy some seeds to plant. Well, they take one of their kids.
Yeah. And some people even sold their own families into slavery.
It was family members. They do that today.
Yep.
You got a mannish, unruly member of your family that's always getting in trouble. Well, hell, let the police kill him. Then you go ahead and get a lawyer and you file a lawsuit.
Yep.
You get paid. Yeah, don't worry. You got some more. And I bet you that's what goes on, because soon as one of them get killed, the first thing they doing right off the bat is talking about lawsuits. Being that they done read about Mike Brown, Floyd, and Trayvon Martin, they want to get in on that too.
Yeah. Oh, of course. And that's one thing I noticed too about a lot of these people that got gunned down by the police. Every last one of their families got at least $1 million settlement, except for maybe Corin Gaines. Corin Gaines, they awarded her family $37 million, but a judge later overturned that. I didn't know about that. The judge overturned that case, but her family was initially offered $37 million. And I was like, that's ridiculous, because that gal was crazy. I saw her on YouTube on the video. That girl was pure crazy. And they said it may have come from her eating too many lid chips when she was a child. And I'm like, I tend to believe it, because that girl was just pure crazy.
So anyway, y'all. That's the way that stuff goes, Vincent.
Yeah. I mean, every last one, Breonna Taylor, Sandra Bland, Michael Brown, what's the kid that got shot in Cleveland, the little 12-year-old kid, I forgot.
That cop was wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Was wrong.
It had nothing to do with him being black, though. That's the thing.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, the thing.
And the guy that called it in, he was sitting on a bench across from the park, so he looked like he got a gun. I would have got it on his case about that, too.
Yeah.
But, shit, if he got a gun, then there was somebody that was with him he was playing with. They wasn't complaining.
Yeah. And that was just an unfortunate circumstance right there. Philando Castile. That's another one. That's another
Castile
kind of
brought that on himself, because Minnesota law says you don't have to tell a police officer that you're carrying a weapon.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, you heighten. You elevate the situation.
Yeah.
That's why come they don't put it on your driver's license, that you got a gun.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, there you are.
Shoot. maybe I need to find somebody who went through some injustice so I can get me millions of dollars, too. You know, the one that really makes me mad is Michael Brown, because Michael Brown wasn't raised by his mother. Leslie McSpadden did not raise him. He was raised, I think his grandmother's name was Pearl. I think that was her name, Pearl something. And she was the one that raised him. But when Michael Brown got gunned down, who did we see on the news all the time? His quote-unquote grieving mother. And not only
I know
that,
Leslie and his daddy.
Really? Leslie McFadden?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And here's the thing. The grandmother was selling T-shirts. in memory of Michael Brown, and Leslie and her one of her cousins, I think it was, came and from what I heard, beat the grandmother down, saying, "Wait a minute, why are you getting money off of my child?" You know, and everything. But really, the grandmother is the mother. Now, if anyone needs $1 million, it's probably the grandmother.
But yeah, she raised him.
Yeah, she was the one that raised him. And they said, you know, they talk about Michael Brown's stepfather. He didn't have a stepfather because Leslie McSpadden's boyfriend, she wasn't even married to him. So that
that's the
you
one.
Can't say it was
he knew me, too. I didn't know really? Him because he came up and said something to me one day. He was dark complexion.
Mm-hmm. Pants hanging down.
He the one burn baby burn. They had him on tape saying that.
Yeah, he said burn this bee down, burn it down, burn it down. You know,
and I don't know why he said that shit. Hell, you had to shop in them damn stores, idiot.
I mean, really? I mean, you're defeating your own purpose.
Mike Brown made a mistake trying to take that cop's car. I mean, take the cop's gun out of his. He was around on the passenger side, going to reach over, and which fits the description because the cop was right-handed, mm-hmm. so he would have had the gun on his right side.
Yep.
And struggled with him, and the gun, I think, went off in the cruiser. See what happened? They was walking down the middle of the street, and Wilson was on the way to answer a call. A black child was choking around
exactly.
the corner.
Yep.
And when he passed them, he asked them, "Y'all need to get out the street." And they said, "F you." Well, he puts it in reverse and come back. And then he calls them over. And then he's going to get in an argument with the man, try to reach in and take his gun. I don't know why he done that.
I mean, really.
Then he's going to try to run. Then the guy gets out and tells him, "Oh, stop." And he turns around and go charge the police officer like he's a running back or something.
Yeah.
I don't even know why he done that. That don't make no sense.
He was
up there at the store. They say he shook the store down with buying marijuana from one of them Arab guys, a Mideasterners, in that little convenience store.
Yeah, they said he and a friend of his stole some what they call Swisher
cigarillos.
Them cigarillos, and they use those cigarillos to they load it up with marijuana, and they smoke them with the marijuana in them. And I didn't know Michael Brown was that big. I think Michael Brown was bigger than I am. That boy was big. I was like, he was about twice the size of that store owner.
Yeah, he's a big kid. Well, honestly, I hate to see him lose his life.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Man, why'd you do that?
Yeah, exactly. What are you thinking?
Why did you do that? Just like you had another shooting in St. Louis where the mama had the son in the car at 11:30 at 1:30 in the morning, something like that. And he's 16 years old and had a gun on him. Now, Missouri is a constitutional state, but you got to be 21 years of age to carry a gun. Well, the mama knew he wasn't no damn 21, and he knew she had a gun. So what you got the boy with a gun for? Going to the convenience gas mart to buy some chicken nuggets.
Wow.
And she left. She was in the car. I think she was at the pump. And for some reason, a police officer was watching, and he came over, and then the kid ran. And he must have seen the weapon. You know, you raise your arms, and there it is. Or you had your shirt unbolted or something. But anyway, he run. And he run around the back of the damn store trying to get away. And he can't get out back there. It's all fenced in. So the cop said that he turned around, was going to try to shoot him, and he cop shot him. It might have been two cops. And the gun was there, from what I understand. This is in St. Louis, down there on by the Shell station. Where in the hell? That's happened in St. Louis. And it's a, you know, known for that type of activity going on there. But once again, why the hell, and he was getting ready to go to Vashon High School. That's one of the schools I built, one of the last projects I had when I, in my building career. And it's a shame these things be happening. I know where that Shell station is, too, right there on Jefferson. Off of Martin Luther King.
You got Martin Luther King. You got Martin, you got a street named after Martin Luther King. What was that? Chris Rock said, "You better run."
you better run.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The one city that I've been in that had a street named after Martin Luther King, and it wasn't a high crime rate, is the city I live in right now, Durham. The street named after Martin Luther King here, you hardly hear of any crime going on around there. No, and it's not in the hood or anything like that. You know, you don't hear of any crime.
Well, they
it's
run
probably
Martin
the only city
Luther
that's
King
like that.
West to Lucas and Hunt, then it picks up, it's St. Charles Rock Road. They didn't run it out into the county. People out there didn't want it. In Kansas City, they had changed the name of Truth, T-R-O-S-T, which was a historical person, to Martin Luther King. Then the people came and voted to change it back to what it was.
Yeah.
They got a street in St. Louis on Delmar, name of Barack Obama. It's got one of them sub signs, you know, down below everything else.
Oh, wow.
They talking about changing that back to what it was. Delmar was a historical person in the St. Louis area.
All them streets,
really. So anyway, that's the way it goes, man. You got all this this hypocritical stuff going on. Shit, what are you going to... You got what you gonna say?
Yeah. I mean, and it's a responsibility for those who know the truth to keep speaking up and don't back down for anything. Like I said earlier, stick to your guns. You know, the politicians ain't gonna stick to their guns. So it's up to each individual to come to that realization that you need to stick to the truth, no matter how unpopular it becomes. And that's why I tell people, you know, I don't have a side to pick in this in this battle. I just want to be about the truth. I want to be about the truth. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to show any loyalty to any political party or to any racial groups or anything like that. I just want to be about the truth. And I say this, I don't know how many times, the truth is going to cramp your style. It cramps a lot of people's style. And when the people come at you because you're telling them the truth, it's your duty to your heels in and just stick with the truth and say, hey, this is the truth. And I don't care if I'm surrounded by 10,000 people and I'm the only one with the truth. I'm going to stick with the truth. No, you know, I don't care what anybody thinks. You know, now we all got our opinions. Don't get me wrong. We all got our opinions about certain things. But it's up to us to look into our opinions and figure out if our opinions are true or not. And then if we find out the truth about it, we're like, okay, you know, just hang on to the truth. But we got a lot of cognitive dissonance going on where people are exposed to the truth. You show them the truth, but they still want to believe the lie. You know, and those people, you can't, it's nothing you can do about those people. Those people just caught up in their feelings and their emotions. And, you know, those are the people that watch the evening news and they just take what the evening news tells them, and they say, "Oh, okay, well, I heard it on the news." So, you know, but they don't care about the truth.
Here you got the migrants saying they feel misled. They've flown to Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah. You know, I
you shouldn't be in the
funny.
Damn country, idiots.
Yeah, I mean, really. I thought that was kind of comical. I really do, because you got these people talking about, oh, we gotta love on the illegals and everything and stuff like that. And say, okay, well, you want to love on them? Okay, I'm gonna send something your way. Oh, wait a minute, I ain't mean for you to send them. No. You want to call them to them? We're gonna send you some. You know, they're doing that in my hometown of Washington, D.C. they sent him a Mayor Bowser. She's like, wait a minute, what the heck is this? Hey, you want to show him some love? I'm gonna show you can love him in person, you know. And I wonder what the Obamas think of them immigrants coming to their island right now.
These people crazy as hell, man. It's a shame the way they're being used with Biden them.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, I guess you would call them black in America. I don't know what they call them there.
Yeah. I don't even think they call them black there.
This is terribly, terribly exploiting these people.
Yeah.
And these women ain't missing not one meal. You talking about some asses, boy.
I mean, yeah, they think.
These are unrealistic. These ain't no Japanese buses they own either, because Japanese buses ain't big enough to carry no big asses like these. The seats ain't.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, you just about out of time, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm about out of time. I feel like you know, the show got kind of fragmented a little bit and whatever because the way it started. But I need to do something about the sound issue on here and Skype, and I gotta find some kind of way to alleviate this, because this is getting a little bit too out of hand, you know. And I really don't want to leave Blog Talk Radio, you know, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Well, I got another show around 7-8.
That's the one called Beyond the Matrix.
Damn, where is this building on fire at? Look at this, man. A skyscraper in China.
What?
Massive fire engulfed skyscraper in China. I thought it was the World Trade Building. This is just as tall, it looked
really?
Like.
Really? Is it
look at the
big?
Flames coming out. Huh?
Is it that big?
Yeah.
Sweetie, there's a report of a skyscraper in China on fire. Can you look that up?
Go check it out, man. Let me know what you think next time I see you.
Okay.
All right, then, Vincent. Always a pleasure.
All right. You take care of yourself. Stay safe out there.
I sure will. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, you all, that's going to be the show. Hopefully we can get these issues taken care of by next week. You know, I'm going to have to find some kind of way to deal with this, but anyway, God willing, I should have another show next weekend. And between now and then, you all have a good week. Take care of yourselves. Stay safe. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. Until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound.